On this episode, we are joined by Tim McGowan, athlete for the Boston Athletic Association. Tim is a runner for the BAA and also ran for Penn State and Northport in high school. Tim and I were rivals back in the day. We talked about when we ran against each other indoor at the state meet in the 4x800 meters. I had a great time talking to Tim about his running career and his future goals in the sport. So without further ado, Tim McGowan. Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio. On today's episode, we are lucky enough to be joined by an illustrious guest, and that guest is Tim McGowan. Tim, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
All right, cool. So where I always start with my running guests is what made you want to first start running competitively back in the day?
Back in the day, I think you're talking, Jesus, like 10 years ago now. I think I was like 12 to 13. It's kind of a weird question because like I don't really remember like when I wanted to do it. I think I just went out for the team and, you know, the next minute it was like my whole life. And I don't really know where it picked up from there. I just remember I was into a lot of other things. Like I should have started. I got cut from the lacrosse team because I was too small.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was not a whole lot to come back from that.
That's why track is great. They take everyone and then next thing you know, you're killing it out there.
Yeah. I mean, I also wrestled, which is like kind of shocking to some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my other sport that like, I didn't even bother asking the coach in high school. He was like, yeah, you're 80 pounds. So
yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, exactly. At what point did you realize you had some potential in the sport?
I was fortunate enough to be on a really like close team at Northport. I remember kind of going head to head with some of you guys like freshman year.
Right.
Like at what Red Raider we used to meet up at.
Yeah, Red Raider was always a big one. Yeah, in terms of
yeah. I knew right when I joined the team that like I knew I had a great coach in Jason Strom, who's still like a really close friend to this day. But I think the big thing was we had a really great just culture. Like every kid on the team wanted to be good. Every kid trusted the coach. And I don't know, the older I get, I feel like the less I see that of kids just really buying into their coach and things like that. But I guess I always had kind of short-term goals. So everything was like freshman year, I was like, oh, I'd kill to make the varsity team, and that meant as much to me as like the goals I had in the future of like making the state meet or winning nationals. You know, it was because I thought kind of short term like that, I feel like I was just as hyped.
Yeah, definitely. It's important to have those short term goals because then you like stay engaged and focused on the next thing rather than the big picture where you can get, you know, more easily discouraged. Another question I like to ask all my track people is, do you remember the first time you broke 5 in the mile?
Yeah, actually I do. I was just thinking about that the other day because we did a mile workout last week and I realized how hard it is at 25, 26. I think I was 15 and I was a freshman and like I was just having a hard time like adapting to like running every day and like I think I had a great cross season. And then, I mean, like most young kids, it kind of like catches up to you and you get a little tired. And so I was starting to get beat by other freshmen. And then once the outdoor track season rolled around, I was like, man, I don't know if this is for me anymore. Like, I'm not like I was killing it in cross. And I was like, oh, this, I'm going to make varsity again. And I was like, I don't know if that spot is guaranteed. And my coach set up this, we had a dual meet with, I think it was like Sachem East. And, you know, he just kind of said to me, go out with your teammates and see what happens. And I mean, you know, my dumbass doesn't know anything about splits. So I had no idea if we were on it or not, but it was me and a kid named Colin Kern. So shout out him. We came across the line at 4:56. And yeah, I was stoked on that. I thought that was, I didn't, you know, like, you know how I was at 2011, 2012, like maybe the best kid in Suffolk County was running like 420, you know,
Yeah,
time. It's not like it is now where everyone's running breaking 9 and running 4:10. It was breaking 5. I was like, oh, I might make counties with this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's funny. The first time you break 5 is crazy because, like, all your career up to that point, you're like, oh, break 5. And then, and then you can make varsity, and then you can do this, and then you can do that. And once you break that barrier, you're like, oh, shit, here, like, here we go. Like, I'm in this now. So
that was, well, like, I mean, it's just such a cool thing where, like, you know, like the guy at the armory every single meet would always say, like, everybody knows the mile, which is like, it's so true. You know, if people ask me now and they're like, oh, what do you, they always ask the mile. No one ever asks what my 10K is, you know, and I wouldn't bother to tell them what a good one is, but everybody knows the mile, which is why I still love it, which is why I'll still do it.
Yeah. That's why the mile's the best. Do you remember, other than breaking 5, do you remember having a breakout race during your high school career that put you up to that next level and the state level at the county level?
Yeah, I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but
okay.
I remember my junior year where I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. I had made the state meet in the indoor season. I had made it in the 2 mile and the mile. And I think I was like fourth, and I was like seventh in both, but my 4x8 won. And I just remember, like, you know, rightfully so, they won the meet, like, but they were getting all the hype. And I remember thinking to myself, it was the first time I had ever been like, wow, like, you know, nobody cares unless you win.
Right.
So that was when it kind of clicked in my head that, like, you know, Allstate is cool, but, you know, it's a lot cooler if you don't have to explain yourself.
Right.
And I remember my junior year and the outdoor season, again, like guys in my grade, like Mikey, my teammate, and Ryan Ubadia were just killing it in the 2 mile and top two go. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make this meet. And then Mikey had a terrible day. I could say that because he was my teammate, but
right.
But like, so I just squeaked into the state meet. And then when the rankings came out, I think I was the last guy in the meet. And my coach just said, you know, have fun with it. Just, you know, you weren't even supposed to be in this heat. And I remember just completely turning my brain off and just crossing the line and seeing 8:59 on the clock for 2 miles. And I was like, I could, to this day, I'm still like kind of, that shouldn't have happened. Like,
yeah.
You know, no, I think that was when everything kind of, I think maybe it's a little dramatic to say, but I think kind of like my life changed. Every phone call was different. Every time I stepped onto the line, it was different after that.
Yeah. It's a different mindset. Breaking 9 is obviously another huge barrier, but I think you were touching on it. Just like that idea of like, just go have fun out there and just shutting your brain off. I think that's sometimes the best mindset when you're like, nothing to lose. Like, here we go. Let's just do this.
Oh yeah, and I'm totally a victim of overthinking races. Like, I'm not pretending that that's my mindset. Like, my college coach always said to me, she's like, just stop thinking, just do it, just have fun with it. You know, it was like night and day of different kid working out versus different kid racing. And yeah, sometimes you just got to go stupid.
Yeah, stupid is the best way to be sometimes. Before we move on to college and what's going on in your life these days, I want to touch on a couple races we might have had in common. First one we talked about was indoor Cornell my senior year, which would have been 2014, the 4x8. What do you remember from that race?
From the 4x8?
Yeah, from the 4x8.
Yeah, I remember I had run the 2 mile earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I won my first state title. So I was still kind of like riding the high on that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's hard with the kind of, I mean, the emotional hangover is totally a thing where, like,
yeah,
you run a great race and you're like, I'm stoked on this. But then you're like, ah, geez, I gotta run again in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to, the second I crossed the line and the second the medal ceremony was over, I was like, you know, it's back to business. So I have a job to do. And I remember getting to the line, and our first leg was my twin brother. He handed off in like fourth, I think. And then it was Mikey. And Mikey I think he had, like, for some reason, the second leg was like the best. And then by the time I got the baton, it was like my coach started screaming, just go crazy, go crazy. And I didn't have a lot of crazy left in my legs. I'll say that.
No, I feel that.
I don't remember what we got, but I remember crossing the line and going like, hey, it was still a good day.
Yeah, you can't really get too mad when you won the state title earlier in that.
Yeah, day. Yeah. I wish I could have pulled off the double gold for my teammates, but I think we were pretty out of it from the beginning. I think Chaminade was the team to beat.
Chaminade ended up winning that day. My side of that was Syosset. I think we might have ran the same leg because I was also third. And
shit.
Yeah, we had a 152 anchor on our side. So I got it to him in like fourth, and he ended up taking a second to Sean Kelly. So that was a good day.
Okay, yeah. I remember you guys were that second team that was always battling Chaminade.
Yeah. No, we would go back and forth. They kicked our ass at Nationals and won the national meet, and we came in sixth. But
yeah, man, I always love it when because not to kind of speak kind of low of the like the private schools, but it is super cool when it's like just a ragtag like public school that kind of steps up and
for sure
like takes everybody down, because you know we're probably what am I saying, dude, we're from Long Island. I was about to be like, oh, we're probably underfunded.
Ragtag,
but it is cool when we're like you know, because like the cool thing to play is lacrosse when it's like I always feel like when it's like a little public school, it's like it's a bunch of kids that are kind of like bought in and genuinely love it.
Yeah. I mean, Chaminade, St. Anthony's, all those schools, St. John the Baptist. It's not, I got tired of them winning everything, you know? So it's nice to.
Dude, 100%.
The public schools, because like they probably got recruited, all that stuff. It's like a college, basically. So.
Yeah. And I feel like when you go to like the private school, you're the type of kid that's like, I'm here to run. I'm here to play my sport. I'm here to go to school and play my sport. Whereas like when you go to a public school, you're there.
You're
you
know? Kid. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You find the love for it.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm glad we had some races in common. And obviously it's a little easier for us when we're all fresh and you guys are coming off the 2 mile and 1,000. So you never make it easy. Yeah, yeah. No, I give you guys a lot of credit, obviously. And it's nice to have someone from a different school on SAS in Northport. I always thought we were kind of rivals, Suffolk County, Nassau County rivals. So it's cool to have you on.
Yeah, it would have been cool if there was like if there was a Suffolk versus Nassau kind of thing. I feel like we were always kind of like in our bubble, and we only ever saw you guys at
the invites and stuff.
I always wanted that. Where did you guys have your like dual meets indoors?
Well, we didn't really have dual meets. We basically ran invitationals and like divisions, conferences. We didn't really bother with dual meets. I guess that's more of a Suffolk thing, or my coach didn't like dual meets, but our home track was St. Anthony's indoor.
Yes, that's where we kind of got the shaft on that one, because ours would be like a Suffolk County. It was like a Suffolk Community College, and we had like a dirt floor, like a gym floor.
Gym floor, yeah. I remember running that once, like back when I was in middle school, but it's not as nice as terrible. Nowadays. Nowadays, it's like a real track. Right.
I think it was the year we graduated. They pumped a bunch of money into it, and now it's beautiful. But
yeah, kids these days don't know how good they have it.
Yeah, dude, I sound like such a boomer.
Yeah, I know, right? We're washed up at this point. But
hell yeah.
So, coming into your senior year, talk about your decision. How did you end up deciding where you want to go to school?
I think honestly, I reached my hand out, and really quickly, it was pretty clear I was going to be in the Big Ten.
Right.
I think just the way the chips fell, when it came down to it, it was either Syracuse or Penn State. But like I had been talking to Mick Byrne at Wisconsin. He's a New York guy. He's an Irish guy, so he was really good to me and my family. He came to visit my house, and I was kind of like a naive kid where I feel like I got kind of intimidated really quickly, where like you hear the history of like a school like Wisconsin or even Syracuse, dude. I took my visit and I sat down with Philo Germano and Colin Benny and MJ Erb, who are still like friends of mine to this day. I loved the guys on the team there. I remember being there for 20 minutes, and I was like, I could see myself hanging out with these guys. But the point I'm trying to make was I was like an immature kid, and I was like, oh, what kind of workouts do you guys do? And they were like, we're big into hill workouts. And the second I heard that, I clicked off. I was like, no way. I think I had done a hill workout in Northport, and I straight up yacked. So the second I heard that, I was like, I won't succeed here, which I think was probably a little immature. Not that I regret anything, but I think going back to what I know now, I wish I would have been a little more confident in my just not getting scared off by the bigger schools. But when I took my Penn State visit, I like immediately meshed with the guys on the team, and Coach Gondek was a really great guy in terms of like, he always made me feel like I was going to be cared for in the classroom. And because I was pretty honest with him, I was like, I'm gonna struggle. Like, I was like, you might get some emails. And he was like, no, like, I'm gonna help you, I'm gonna get your degree if you, and he was straight up with me. He's like, if you come to me in the beginning of the semester and say, hey, I'm like struggling in the class, he was like, I'm gonna help you, I'm gonna do everything I can. Obviously, if you come to me the last week of the semester and say, hey, I'm bombing four classes, you're gonna get killed. But I mean, I credit Gondek a lot. He is still someone that like I'll always speak highly of in terms of like putting academics first, and because I was super nervous. And I mean, I had a great relationship with Coach Reckert, who is, you know, a close friend and mentor to this day. Like, I trusted her with my training and everything. And yeah, that's kind of a long answer, but yeah.
No,
it's all Penn State.
Yeah, we love long answers over here. Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's nice to have that support, because I think a lot of kids can relate. It's like, yeah, it's like I got this running thing, but this academic side is going to be tough. So it's nice to have
that support all the way through. I mean, like I get so confused when I hear stories of kids on teams now, and they just like, they kind of come on and they just really don't trust their coach and they do their own thing. And it's like, I had the mindset of like, if I was going to go to a Michigan, if I was going to go to a Wisconsin or go to a Penn State, I was like, they've had so much history that I'm pretty sure I'll figure it out. Like, I knew, I was like, if I work hard enough anywhere, I'm pretty sure I'll have success on the track. I was, to tell you the truth, I was honest, I was pretty worried about off the track.
Right.
And I got the feeling that Gondek and Reckert were going to look out for me the best.
Yeah.
It blows my mind when kids kind of walk onto a team with so much history and they're like, no, this is what works for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like so dumb. These coaches have obviously been there before. It's not their first time with a student who might be struggling. So they're going to know exactly what to do and how to help.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, for sure. Talk any races that jump out to you from your college career, any big like highlight races?
I was like pretty blown away by the Big Ten, like from the start. Like, I loved the passion for it. I loved how just everybody got so fired up for it. But I think that being said, I was completely humbled my first Big Ten meet. Like, I was an idiot. We're all idiots at 19 and 20. I like walked on the line and I was like, I looked at my coach and she was like, all right, I think I was coached by Gondek at this time. And he was like, you know, really dig down. He was kind of building it up. He's like, dig down and really peak for this. And I was expecting him to say like, and I'll medal. And he was like, I think you could pick up like seventh or eighth. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I was like,
I'm not used to that.
I was like, I'm not trying to just score points. I was like, I was just a moron. And I got obliterated the last 400 meters. I remember even specifically a Michigan State kid like with 600 go tapped me on the shoulder and kind of pointed completely calmly, just like, hey, can I go in front of you? And I'm like out of breath already. And it was I like to the point where like I had nightmares about those races for years. So I think my kind of breakout race was, in college at least, was my indoor Big Ten meet my junior year.
Okay.
I was in the 3K at first, and I fell and got trampled.
Jeez.
Dude, it was tough. I took a spike plate to the mouth. There was just I mean, I'm such a little guy compared to a lot of that. Obviously, if it goes out slow and there's a lot of jostling, I'm gonna get bodied around. And I remember I was so discouraged. I really didn't even want to run the 5K because I was just like, I was like, it's gonna be the same shit. Like, I don't even want to do this. And the second, like, the gun went off, and I was like, I'm going right to the front, and I'm just gonna like try to stay out of trouble, and I'm just gonna, every time there's a move. And I was running scared. I was running angry. And me, Morgan McDonald, I think it was Ops Ali was second, and I think I picked up third.
Nice.
And it was just kind of like that. I think it was the only time I've ever like kind of celebrated crossing the line, like involuntarily. Like, I just like pumped the fist. And then it was the first time in my college career that I was like, all right, things are working, you know?
Yeah, definitely. No, that's really good company, McDonald and Ali. That's some big names right there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's the thing with the Big Ten is like, there's always guys coming, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's a cool story. I'm glad you stayed with the 5K, and I'm glad you toughed it out for that race.
Oh yeah, no, Coach Rec was not very happy when I looked at her at the, I think it was like 10 minutes before I warmed up. She's like, "You feeling good?" I was like, "I don't want to do this." And like, she like, I could see like her like being like, what do you mean you don't want to do this? So I'm like, as much as I really was freaked out going into it, I'm really glad she kind of talked me off the ledge.
Yeah, there you go. Talk about your decision after school to turn pro and join the BAA.
Oh yeah. So I didn't originally do that. I was coaching at Hofstra.
Okay, cool.
I was about to tell you where that was, but you don't live far
from. No, I'm an Adelphi kid, so right near Hofstra.
Oh no shit. Yeah, I really didn't have any. I didn't. Vince reached out to me when I was still at Penn State and was like, just said, you know, I have a Kenyan kid. He doesn't have anyone to train with, if you could come by and just do a couple runs with him, it'd be better than nothing for him. And I jumped on the opportunity, and just me and Alex really clicked. He's dropped me in a lot of workouts, but I mean, he's one of my best friends.
Yeah,
dude, he like that kid. I mean, the Kenyan long run is something to really admire, where it's like, where they shuffle out the door going 8 minute miles for the first 2 miles, and then they're going like five flat pace for 15 of those miles. And I just think there's nothing better than that hard long run, you know?
Yeah, no, it's essential.
But I think that's where I got fit, and I was pretty sure my career was kind of over, at least competitively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think I was ever going to come back. But then training with Alex every day, I was like, you know, maybe I mean, it's not uncommon to have these like quarter life crisis where you're like, if I'm not going to do this now, I'm never going to do it.
Right.
It kind of dawned on me that like, you know, I was on a really good team at Northport. So like every decision was kind of for the team. And at Penn State, being one of the only distance guys, it was like, you know, always doubling at these big meets. And it was like kind of the first time I was like, I'm going to make kind of a selfish and maybe stupid decision and go all in on this because I'm not going to be able to do it at 29.
Right.
Sure. So I emailed Mark Carroll at the BAA and was like, hey, you know, congrats on the gig. Can you mind if I come up here and run around a little bit? Like, I tried to keep it
light.
Keep it light, because I was very certain. I was like, this could be a no. Like, you know, kind of go into it with the attitude, like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, you've got a great support system here. But, you know, I mean, even looking back, being here for 2 years, I'm really glad I kind of stepped out of my comfort zone in New York and took all the risks here, because I mean it's been fun, I guess.
Yeah, no, I bet. It's always cool. I always like hearing stories on the podcast of people betting on themselves and taking that risk post-collegiately to really try to take that next step. And like you said, it might be a selfish decision, it might be a dumb decision, but it's a decision that you made with yourself in mind. So I really, really like
that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like I have no regrets in my career. I loved every second. I mean, everybody on Penn State is someone I, you know, hold close to my heart. And Northport, I still talk to everybody to this day. Like, our alumni network is so strong that, like, out here in Boston, I've got, I always say, like, wherever I go, I'm not far from, like, a Northport right. alumni. Like, I have Kevin Shearhart, who was had every record before me. He's like an older brother to me. He reaches out to me all the time. And when I first moved to Boston, Leanne Farber, who's a little older than me, is running for New Balance.
Oh, nice.
And it was kind of the same thing that every Northport alumni does for each other. You know, you kind of show them the ropes and take them under your wing, which, you know, I definitely hovered around her a little bit when I first moved up here in terms of meeting people. But yeah, so when I say like I took a risk and kind of bet on myself, I was never alone, I guess. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that network is key. I definitely can relate to that as a Syosset guy. How's training going? How are the legs feeling, to quote Chris Chavez?
It's been a long summer, but so I've been pretty injury free my whole career, and I think that bug finally bit me. December, I was gearing up for a 10K in Texas, and we didn't have an indoor track because of COVID, so all of our workouts were outside. And I think when I got to Texas and I did the 10K, it was my first time putting on spikes, which I just didn't click with very well, and I ended up getting nerve damage in my feet.
Jesus.
I know, like, who does that? Yeah. I was running with Isaiah Harris the next day when I was warming up with him for his race, just like trying to see how it'll feel. And he was like, why are you going so slow? And I was like, dude, I can't pick up my feet. I don't know what's going on. And I went to my doctor when I got back. He's like, yeah, you got nerve damage. That led to me getting a lot of like Achilles tendinopathy. So it was like, I was training. Like, I was saying to myself during the workouts this spring, I was like, if I can get through the workouts, I can muscle through the pain of easy days.
Right. Damn.
Which is just as dumb as it sounds.
Yeah, that does sound really difficult and tough.
I did a last ditch effort to try to get the 5K standard and went out. I was like, I think I was 8:40 on 2 miles, and I just like, couldn't follow it up that last mile. So, you know, I made the decision just to shut it down for the season and just kind of let my body heal.
Yeah.
And I've had countless like shockwave and all this stuff done to my Achilles. And I think we're finally kicking it in the ass, but, you know, knock on wood. But
yeah.
So I'm like 3 consistent 80 mile weeks in, and yeah, we'll see. I don't want to speak too soon, but we're thinking, a half in the fall, and then probably this track season I'll try to break 4 in the mile. And
that's try to, there you go.
Yeah, you know, again, short-term goals.
Just keep putting those 80 mile weeks in, you'll get there. And then
so I don't know, I was thinking, see, I feel like I'm gonna say right now, because I've never done anything over a 10K on the roads.
Okay.
I should have said I'm doing, I don't know if you know, Cow Harbor is the... I think if I'm right, I don't think a Northport kid has won Cow Harbor since the 40s. So no. I think it would mean a lot to me. It would mean a lot to the town if I could go back and get a W for the city that raised me. So I think I'm targeting that in September before I look for a half. But
that'll be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking right now I'm gonna say 65 flat for a half.
Okay. I like
as
it.
as a safe goal.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So what, for looking forward, what do you think your best event, like what's your target event for the next cycle? You're looking at the mile, looking at a 3K. 5K.
I mean, I'm a wannabe miler. I hate 10K, but like I'm thinking that's my
yeah.
That's my I obviously I still have I feel like I'm one of those runners right now in that transition where it's hard to let the other events go, where I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to run 7:40 high in the 3K, but I really think I got to start getting after the longer stuff, getting after the longer events. And so I'm thinking the 10, maybe even the half is going to be where I hopefully find my stride without blowing up my Achilles.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Just stay healthy, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah. Who
Are you
was
still
that?
running?
Yeah, I'm washed up. I'm very washed up. So I ran for
Dude,
Adelphi.
aren't we all?
Yeah, so I ran D2. I graduated this spring with my master's in social work, and then so I took some
Yeah.
time off, and now I'm just trying to get back into it. I'm actually training with SRC, Sayville Running Company, with Mike Petrina. I don't know if you know him.
Oh yeah, I've seen those t-shirts around.
Yeah. So I'm just casual, like hobby jogger at this point, but I'm trying to train for maybe Cal Harbor, maybe the half at some point. So
Yeah,
just having fun
dude.
with it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Who are your main training partners with the BAA nowadays?
When I first moved out here, it was so we're talking pre-COVID. It was my roommate Connor Clark, who was a Dartmouth guy, and Jacob Thompson, who he's now training out in Flagstaff and runs a pretty dope coaching business out there. And I mean, I moved out here with a guy named Kevin Kelly, who I had never met before, but he called me up over from Drake, and he was, hey, we're both doing this. You want to live together? And
There you
yeah,
go.
he turned out to be a good guy. So thankfully, he's not an axe murderer. But yeah,
Yeah.
he was a good training partner. He was kind of he was more mile 3K, and I was kind of more 5K, 10K. So a lot of times we'd meet in the middle and run some good workouts. But I think when I first moved out here, Jacob was, he was kind of the guy on the team that had already achieved a lot already. Where and I mean, great. Credit to him, he really kind of took me under his wing and just took me through all the really hard workouts that I was pissing myself over and just eating caffeine before just so I could be ready for
Oh,
it. But
damn.
so I'm grateful. We had a lot of really good guys out here, and now we've got my other roommate Gerald Mock, who's a 210 marathoner, and yeah, we Paul Hogan, I should say. Actually, Paul in high school. Paul edged me out for a national title.
Damn.
So yeah, that comes up in a few long runs from time to time, but it's kind of funny how we came back around. And
What event was that in? Is that the 2 mile?
that was the two. Yeah, I took the lead with I think a quarter mile to go, and I was expecting people to pass me. I think I made it to 200 to go, and I was like, nobody's passed me. And then I made it with 100 to go, and I was like, same thing. And then the line was right here, and I see Paul's ginger head out leading me for
Oh,
the
no.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on the team here. And then my first day, he shook my hand. He was like, "Oh, what's up, Tim?" So it's the coolest like full circle in the running world
Yeah.
of how like high school rivals kind of come back to you.
Yeah. No, it really is a small world. You realize it more and more the more meets you get out to. Like, oh, I know you. You beat me. I just beat you at this race or that race. So it's cool to see that
Yeah,
in
and
the community
it's funny how
support.
like you never forget a face either, like I mean even this right now you could say like guys from Long Island in high school and I'll
You'll pick it back up, yeah.
like, oh you're from the
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny. It's cool. Yeah, it's nice to stay connected with all the Long Island running community. Before I
pretty
let you,
niche.
yeah, no, for sure. Before I let you go, last question I ask all my guests is if you could have dinner with any celebrity or athlete, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Celebrity or athlete? Damn, that's a tough one. I'll geek out a little and I'll say, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
I've got so
it's
many like lead singers of punk bands I would just love to grab a beer with. I
there you go.
think I might say Gordon Ramsay just because for some weird reason that I can't tell. why I before a lot of big meets I would watch like Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
Just because I'd be so nervous, I would need something mindless.
Right. Just
And
watching
him
TV.
screaming, yeah, like reality TV is the best thing to watch before meets. So like,
Don't have to think too much.
and if yeah, and if it wasn't like watching Naked and Afraid on A&E, it was like I was watching Hell's Kitchen on Hulu. And there's something about how crazy that guy is. I would love to just like pick his brain.
Yeah, no, that's a unique answer. I like it though.
Yeah,
It's...
because I wouldn't ever want to have dinner with somebody that I like totally fanboyed, you know? Like if I
Yeah.
like I've had a Green Day poster on my wall since I was a kid. That's a little weird to tell someone over dinner, like, hey, staring at you on my wall since I was a
You
kid.
all know.
It's a good variance of me being like, hey, I like your show, but you know, let's not be besties.
Yeah. No, the best thing about that is I think the food would be really good if it's Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, dude, oh yeah, I didn't even think of that.
It's a guaranteed chew-in. So,
Yeah, that's a
Tim,
win.
thank you for doing this. Let me know if any other Northport guys want to come on. But thank you for doing this. I had a good time chatting with you.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you guys for
Hey, take
listening.
it easy.